everyone, and welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, Coaching with Carrie in 2016. I hope you all had an amazing holiday season. You finished off 2015 strong, and yet you're off to an amazing start in 2016 with some big goals personally and professionally that you intend to achieve. And part of what my goal is in 2016 on Coaching with Carrie here on Blog Talk Radio Live every Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time is to help you to stay motivated, to stay inspired, to achieve all of those things that you want to achieve, to make sure that you stick with that New Year's resolution, to achieve the goals and the heights of your business, to professionally and personally develop, to change your mindset, to become the entrepreneur that you truly know you are, to become that business owner that runs a successful business that can outlast any shift in a market, and to truly reach your full potential, because that, by the way, is what this life is all about. It's the journey. It's not the destination. It's not the goal at hand. It's what you become, who you become on the way to that goal, or by the end of your days on this earth during the journey that you have in the life that you live. And so that is my passion. It's what I want to continue to bring to you in a variety of different ways. If you haven't connected with me on social media, please go to Coaching with Carrie on Facebook. You'll be able to see some amazing tips. I do some blogging that will help you in your business, whether you're in real estate or if you're a business owner in general. In terms of marketing and things of that nature that I think you'll find very helpful. I also am back at my Motivation Mondays like I was all last year. So again, if nothing else, you can get a little laugh on a Monday and hopefully a little bit of motivation or inspiration as well. And of course, please tune in live at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time every day. Every Friday here on Blog Talk Radio on Coaching with Carrie. My handle at Twitter is CarrieHKW. I would love to hear from you. Tweet me, message me. Of course, if there's anything I can do to help you, I do free coaching sessions. And I am, of course, always willing to give out some of the books for free for those that are listening to these coaching sessions. As you've noticed in 2015, many of these coaching series that I've done have been based on national bestsellers that are just amazing books that are going to help to transform your business and your life. And we are continuing on here with tactic number 4 of the book called Shift. So if you haven't tuned in 2015, please know you can go back to Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie. You can listen to every single live coaching session. These are all recorded. So we went through tactic 1, 2, and 3 already in this book called Shift, How Top Real Estate Agents Tackle Tough Times. By the way, even if you are not a real estate agent, if you are in a different industry but you are running your own business, all of these tactics will apply to you as well. This book just happens to be written for the real estate industry, but it's applicable to all industries if you're your own entrepreneur, your own business owner. This is a New York Times bestseller. It's an amazing book, and it's about shifts happen, right? Market shifts, economic shifts, seasonal shifts, the market will shift, and sometimes you'll have to shift in response to either a falling market, right, or other times you'll have to shift to take your business to the next level when things are going well in the market, but both can transform your business and your life if you know how to do it, and you can change your thinking, your focus, your actions, and ultimately your results to get back in the game and ahead of the competition, and the tactics will jumpstart your business in tough times. They will also power you forward in good times no matter what the market. You just need to learn how to shift. So this book, Shift, and this coaching series is going to explore the 12 proven strategies for achieving success in any real estate market or in any market if you're in a different industry. And so we talked about earlier, just in general, okay, the market does shift. We understand shifts happen. Then we moved into tactic 1, and we talked about getting real, getting right, your mindset, and you need to get into action. And those are very, very important things for anybody in any business. The tactic number 2 was to remargin your business and to really watch your expenses. Expense management, obvious when the market changes. And tactic number 3, do more with less. You need to learn to be a master of leverage because, of course, that's going to be an important thing to get the most out of the people that you do have and to have less people because that's going to cut your expenses and you're really going to be able to be more efficient, more productive, and you're going to be able to withstand any kind of shift in that using that tactic as well. And that's just an important business tactic to be able to understand and to apply to your business no matter what is happening in the market. In my opinion, of course, many of these tactics, that's the case. And today, we're going to talk about tactic number four, find the motivated. We're talking about lead generation here. If your ship doesn't come in, well, you need to swim out to it, right? That's what Jonathan Winter said. That's a great quote. I think about it all the time. We can't be waiting for things to come to us all the time. We need to get out there and go after it. Fewer leads, fewer showings, and increased days on the market, these are all things that you need to watch for. And these are signs that show up. And when they do, you need to take notice. Don't ignore them. Don't wait to act. These are the early warning signals that would have what is most likely to come next, which is more inventory and fewer pendings. It's just a sequence of a shift. It happens. Demand slows down. Supply builds up. It starts with fewer leads and ends with even less closings. And buyers and sellers get thrown for a loop, and they in turn start to throw the market for a loop because they've been thrown for one, and it's just a cycle that happens. What felt like an unlimited supply of buyers at one point and sellers suddenly feels very limited. Abundance quickly shifts to scarcity. We've probably all been there in a particular time frame in our business, but just because the market has moved from more to less doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about in this coaching series as we move through this book called Shift, and as we move through these tactics. As leads become fewer, you must recognize the situation and make a more concerted effort to generate them. That's just it. You can't sit back. You must be rigorous and resolute in your lead generation and do it more than ever before and more than anyone else is. In fact, now would be the time to shift your lead generation activities into the highest gear possible. And you just need to do it as fast as you start noticing and as soon as you start noticing these signs of a shift happening. Don't wait to see what happens. You need to change your strategies and get into action immediately. You will be ahead of the curve and ahead of everybody else if you do that. The cause and challenge of a shift is simply one word. It's motivation. When a market has shifted, what has really happened is that buyer and seller motivation has changed, right? Regardless of the economic causes or the driving forces behind the shift, your market only shifts because the motive and rationale behind buying and selling has shifted. That's all. In other words, whenever and wherever economic shifts occur, so does motivation. And this becomes the number one challenge of a shift. Finding the motivated. Where there was once a large quantity of quality leads, there isn't, and the once clear pool feels more like a muddy puddle, and the number of saleable leads has decreased dramatically, and the reason is motivation. It's almost as if all the buying and selling of the past seller's market has borrowed against the buyers and sellers of this market, and now it's time to pay up. Where the buyers and sellers had both personal reasons and positive market expectations as dual motivators, they now just have their personal reasons, and that has changed their motivation. Motives have narrowed significantly. Fewer people pass the clear-cut motivation test of being able, ready, and willing, and fewer buyers can afford to or have the desire to or are prepared to buy now at market prices. Fewer sellers can afford to or have to or are prepared to sell now at market prices. And a market shift simply causes a smaller number of buyers and sellers to have the ability, the readiness, or the willingness to be involved in a real estate transaction at this very moment. That's what happens. That's what this is. And this creates the difficulty that you face, which you can motivate someone to help them better understand why they should consider buying or selling in this market, but you can't motivate them, right? Their motives are their own, their rationales or the reasons are theirs and theirs alone. And since you can't actually motivate people, your only choice will be to find more of them. So this is why you must now ramp up your lead generation, because there are less of the motivated out there to find. And frankly, this is when the true competitive nature of your business really reveals itself and you realize it's time to stop trying to get your fair share of the market and do all you can to get your unfair share, but you need to get into action and do it. The agents who are going to survive and thrive in any tough business market will be those who face reality and say, if it's to be, it's up to me, and I need leads coming straight to me. The challenge is that when the market first shifts, you are rarely sure what it will take to find enough motivated prospects to achieve your sales and income numbers, and so you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to be motivated to find the motivated. So let's face the facts. Lead generating to find potential customers just might not be your favorite business subject. I'm sure it's not. I talk to people, I coach with people on a daily basis, and it usually isn't. If you're like most, it probably isn't why you got into real estate. It isn't something that gets you excited to go to work every day. The truth, however, is that you actually got into two businesses. You really did. You got into helping people with their real estate needs business, and you got into the lead generation business because they are inseparable. They are the yin and the yang of your professional world. The bottom line is that without motivated leads, there are no people to help, to have sales, you must have leads. One begets the other. Interestingly, the market shifting may have now exposed a real personal dilemma you must overcome. You love helping people, but at the same time, you haven't yet loved to learn to hunt for them. Please realize that I'm not actually, you know, I'm not being hard on you. I'm the same exact way. Most of us really truly are. We all have to admit that we honestly don't enjoy or fully embrace the lead generating part of our businesses at first. I mean, it's just true. And it isn't until people realize that lead generating is something that they have to do and master in order to get it to do the things they really enjoy to do that they buckle down and get serious about it, right? It's all about finding your big why. What motivates you to run this business at a high level? What motivates you? What is it? Why is it that you come to work every day and you want to make the money you want to make? It's because it's for the good that the money is going to do. It's for what that money and that freedom and that business ownership gets you, right? And so you need to dig deep into those things because that's what's really going to motivate you to do the things that you don't love to do, which most of us do not love to lead generate. That's just the bottom line, and I get it. I don't either. But then something magically happens when you just buckle down and do it because you're being driven by that big why. The more you do it, the better you get at it, and the better you get at it, the more you like it. It turns out that, you know, you have all of these, like, myths in your head that are holding you back, and they can be dispelled because you get over a hump and then you get off and running because you get better at it and it's not as big of a deal and you actually start liking it a little bit. So the problem is most of us never get over that hump because we just avoid it as much as possible. Because from a distance, we think lead generation is really difficult, right? But after you diligently apply yourself to it for a reasonable length of time, really, you have to be in it for a while, that you come to see that it's quite easy and it can even be fun. And you know, you kind of confuse effort with enjoyment. You also think that it's going to be, you know, you're going to be too busy. You're not going to have time to lead generate. It just gets in the way. You know, you think that you have to be focused on doing it every day at a certain amount of time, and you discover it's really an issue of having time management and making time and then protecting it. And as you learn to manage your time better, you discover that it's all the time that you need. You don't need more time. And then, you know, of course, intimidation sets in because you believe you can't lead generate because you don't know what to say or how to do it. You're afraid of making mistakes. But then as you consistently get after it, you find that lead generation is nothing more than a set of tasks and skills that are just documented. You get your scripts out. You start doing it over and over again. It becomes a system, right? You catch on that with practice and homework. These actions are easily understood and learned. And you see that at the top of being basically a transaction knowledge and service business, our industry really needs to be script and dialogue skill-based business as well. So you just commit to getting into the path of mastery on these things, and you discover that time on task over time is really the simple secret that will help you become very good at it. Interestingly, what probably has held most people up the most is that you kind of naively buy into the popularity, you know, quoted myth that it's like it takes money to make money. And I think people get intimidated and nervous about that. And so they naturally assume that they couldn't successfully lead generate because they think that it's going to cost them too much from, you know, with what little they have. Or, you know, they kind of use that as an excuse. But I think it not only is an excuse, it really is a true thought in their head. But then once they experience how buyers and sellers really can be found and how they choose a real estate agent, you can grasp two fundamental truths. First, that lead generation doesn't have to cost money at all, and if you don't want it to. And second, that if and when you do spend money, it doesn't have to be as risky as you have imagined. So finally, you just have to, you know, get over fighting it, right? Most people just plain fight lead generation. After all of these things that I've just talked about that could be in your head, these myths, these misunderstandings, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I get that these are probably all myths, and then you just still plain fight it, right? You just basically need to understand that no one really is a natural lead generator, right? You look around and it seems like some people are, but none of them are. I mean, truly, we all have different behaviors when we look at the behavioral styles, but none of us really are just up every day and love to lead generate. So you look around at the industry and it has to dawn on us, right, that very few people have the perfect sales profile and that no one really is a natural lead generator. So the gift of gab should never be mistaken for natural sales skill, first of all. And it really just becomes obvious to you if you look around that everyone, doesn't matter who you are in this business or an entrepreneur or business owner, has to master the specific and meaningful scripts, dialogues, and skills of lead generation to truly be successful at it. We're all in an even playing field here. None of us are just going to wake up and be an amazing lead generator. So once you stop fighting it and get these myths and these thoughts out of your head, you're able to put your head down and get after it. And in time, the results that you hope for will start showing up. And then you're able to connect the dots between efforts and results, and there's a huge aha there, right? And now you see that what you did on the front end with lead generation gets you the sales results on the back end, and this connection really will open your eyes to how effort and success are linked, and it really will become motivation to put the necessary effort in and also to begin to enjoy it, because again, the more you do it, the better you become at it, and the more results you get. And you know and you become confident that when you lead generate, the desired results will follow, and that is an amazing feeling. So you just have to make peace with lead generation, and when you do, you will want to, you know that you will be able to push through a market shift at any time if you've got good lead generation skills, if you work at that and you create that habit. When all is said and done, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to have to get over these myths in your head and get on with it, or you'll eventually succumb to your myths and you'll have to get out of it, meaning the business. So if your past sales success, you know, came either in part or total from riding the wave of an increasing market, the odds are, you know, the easy business you enjoyed will basically disappear from market shifts. To get back on track, there are three straightforward action steps that you must take to get your sales business moving forward in a positive direction, right? Number one, you have to stop doing what doesn't work. And number two, you need to figure out what does work. And then number three, you need to ramp that up, right? So step one, when you have fewer leads than you need, you really do have a problem you can't ignore. There's a challenge, basically this, when we can evade reality, but we can't evade the consequences of the evading reality, if that makes sense. The consequences of evading the reality of your lead generation situation will be dire. They will be. The way to avoid this is to acknowledge your situation and do something about it. And the first step is to stop doing what doesn't work. You start by realizing that time and money are really the two basic tools that you have to generate leads. So you must absolutely stop spending any time or money on lead generation activities that just aren't working. It seems obvious and it sounds simple, but the trick isn't in getting it, it's in doing it. Your goals haven't changed. You know what your annual income goal is, and you know the number of sales you must close to hit it. What has changed is the number of appointments you're going on and the number of leads it takes to get those appointments. And the question you're going to have to answer is, what am I doing or spending money on that is no longer effective since the market has shifted? And you can only know this by associating your valid leads and your lead sources with your closed sales. If you haven't already been tracking this, you need to get out paper and pen and do the following exercise. Write down your top 10 sources of leads. This could be individuals who send you referrals. It could be any methods you currently use whatsoever, your database, if you purchase leads. What you're trying to answer is, where do my leads come from, right? Next, write beside each one the number of valid leads or closings that lead has brought to you. You might have to go back in your calendar. You might have to go back in your closed transactions, but you're going to need to spend some time and do this. And then prioritize them by numbering them from 1 to 10, 1 being the most, you know, effective based on your numbers here and 10 being the least. Take the bottom 5 and stop allocating time or money to them and aim all your resources that you have to the top 5 that are working. The total number isn't as important as the idea of only working the most effective ones. Please realize that. Do this every month because effectiveness is an ongoing and never-ending process of evaluation and adjustment to find the sweet spot, the lead source zone that truly is working for you. The one exception to this process is if any of the lower group on your list, while not always being immediately effective, still creates long-term lead generation opportunities. If you're doing one that meets this description, then you shouldn't necessarily give it up, but do try to get it to pull double duty. Your regular newsletter or e-letter might be a good example of this. The content should be geared for delivering short-term results as well as developing long-term relationships. In other words, pursue short-term and long-term goals at the same time. To have your best year plus a great career requires both, and lead generation effectiveness is the one true building block of all successful real estate careers. And while its goal is always immediate business, that is usually best accomplished through a dual focus on present and future business, right? So when it comes to evaluating results, don't guess and don't get involved in overly optimistic thinking. If your leads have started to dry up, then not everything you're doing is working, and you need to spot what isn't and stop doing it. In other words, stop wasting precious time or money, especially when it's scarce. How much? All of it. Having said that, you may find that it's impossible to hit your future goals without expanding your lead generation activities. So at some point, you may either want or need to invest some more money towards additional lead generating. And when you do, Start by only investing in what you know works and only initiate carefully planned efforts. And as I mentioned when we did the coaching series surrounding the millionaire real estate agent, play that red light, green light game. Red light means spending no more money until what you're doing proves its success, and only then would you give it the green light and the additional dollar investments. Your new philosophy is to hold any and all dollars spent on lead generation accountable for generating motivated buyers and sellers that lead to closings. And when a market shifts, it requires you to take a step back and immediately stop doing what isn't working. By the way, you're not alone. What is happening to you is happening to everyone else in your market, and the advice that works for you is the same advice that will work for someone else. The only one who will succeed, though, will be the one who understands this the quickest and does something about it. And that needs to be you, right? Step number two, figure out what does work. Identifying what currently works and doesn't work is one thing. Knowing how to build an effective lead generation program is totally something else. And while the exercise that you just did or I told you to do roughly identifies what is or is not currently working, most likely you're going to need to add more factors that will work. To do this, you now need to understand why and how lead generation really works. This will enable you to move from having success to creating success, which becomes critical in a shift. Having sales happen is one thing, but now we need to make sales happen, and that is something entirety, right? Most agents don't give adequate thought to building a successful lead generation program that works in any market. They just don't. I'm not blaming. I'm the same way. We just don't always do that. A shift makes it absolutely necessary, however, and anyone who doesn't move to mastering lead generation usually gets shifted right out of real estate. The proven formula you can use for truly understanding what will work in your market is the two M's of lead generation, message and method. Your message matters. The first principle of lead generation messaging is that your message must match your market. This means that your lead generation message must match the motivation of the buyers and sellers in whatever market you're in. Always follow the standard. It's how you cause motivation to show up and reveal itself. When we say your message must match your market, we're talking about two markets: the target market of buyers and sellers you communicate to, and the market conditions of the market areas in which you operate. You convey a message to a targeted audience, right, your market, and you work in a targeted area, the market. It's about the issues and motivations of your targeted audience and the issues and conditions of the market area. You may have one or more targeted audiences, and you can have one or more market areas, and for some, their target audience and market area are one and the same because the targeted buyers and sellers, while they lead generate, encompass the entire general population of the market area they operate in. For others, the specific buyers and sellers they target are simply a subset of the overall area. Either approach can work. You just want to be clear on who you're addressing and on the current market conditions of that area. And your message must match your market to be effective. This is a timeless business truth that transcends all markets and all market conditions. And in a constricting market, this truth becomes critical, since the messages people respond to will really start to narrow greatly. When motivation is low, there are fewer messages that work. The message you put out to attract prospective buyers and sellers is everything. Why would they want to contact you in this market? Why would they get it? Or why would they want to if they did? These two questions are at the heart of all effective messaging. The smartest lead generators know that people respond to messages that matter to them right now, and this becomes the driving theme of all their lead generation activities. When the market shifts, they immediately know that all their lead generation messages must now shift to match the new market. Messaging is built on the proven idea that people will contact you if there is something directly benefiting them. The opportunity to get something they want or need will drive their contact. Promoting your personal brand matters a lot because of the validity it creates for you. But in a shifted market, personal branding alone without a lead-generating message won't get you the motivated leads that you need. So the effective message makes the phone ring, and it will do the heavy lifting of your lead generation. It will be the driving force behind why people contact you. They will connect with you and contact you when your message connects with their why, when it speaks to their personal motivations. The second principle of lead generation messaging is your message must make an offer to get a response. When you create messages for buyers or sellers, you must determine what kind of offers you will make based on what kind of responses you want, right? This theory is called offer response messaging. Now, please know that And this has been confusingly mislabeled by many as direct response marketing for some strange reason. But the concept they are trying to describe is actually a foundational messaging principle that applies both to prospecting and marketing and includes two types of offers. When you lead generate, you are simply making offers to people with the expectation of a response, thus the name offer response. Your offer or your two offer choices are to either make a direct offer to get an immediate response or to make an indirect offer to get an immediate response. Either way, you're looking for a response. A direct offer is exactly that. It's direct. It is an offer designed to get an immediate response from someone who wants to buy or sell with you now. And an indirect offer is still an offer that seeks an immediate response, but not directly for using your services of helping them buy or sell. It is an offer to get something else from you now, thus it is called an indirect offer, which puts you into a relationship with them and then opens the door to possibly doing business with you in the future. And if you are offering a home for sale and they respond, that is a direct offer and an immediate response. They are immediately interested in buying. And if on the other hand you offer a free report of some kind and they respond, that is an indirect offer and an immediate response. They are immediately interested in the report but haven't indicated an immediate interest in buying or selling. They are not seeking to hire you for what you directly do, but their response may give you the opportunity to build that relationship and serve them sometime down the road. And so that's important for you to know, that you need to have these kinds of offers out there to lead generate. Bottom line is that to be effective lead generator, you need to make offers that motivated buyers and sellers will respond to right away, whether they are direct or indirect, and you should do both. Why would you ever make an indirect offer in a shifted market when making a direct offer would seem to be a straighter path to get you exactly what you want? Well, the reason is that not everybody responds to direct offers. By casting out a wider net, using both, you're fishing for the two types of people out there and covering your bases all at the same time. And both work well in a shifted market as they do under in any other market condition, really. The issue isn't about which is better, because you really should be doing both, like I said. And the priority is in making sure your offers always call for an immediate response. You're looking for opportunities to convert people to immediate business, and you're also looking for opportunities to get into dialogue with people for future business, right? So you can make any number of direct offers, ranging from specific information to free reports to something of economic value, best buy lists, free foreclosure home lists, property hotlines, custom property searches, reports you can create. It goes on and on, right? The key to making it effective is to appeal to people's motivation and to do it differently than other agents so that it stands out. And offering a free CMA, for example, is a fairly common indirect offer that sellers will regularly respond to under any market condition. And some would argue that it is a direct offer, but they could be wrong, because remember that a direct offer is to buy a home through me or a list with me, and it's a direct offer when the only answer is they do or they don't do business with you. The free CMA doesn't pass this simple test, because you're actually offering a free service and information that could lead to a listing at some point, and that makes it an indirect offer. Focus on the market situation and the personal or logical motivations that would drive people to respond to an offer, and then shape your indirect offer accordingly. By the way, follow the same approach with your direct offers too. Your message needs a method. That's the second part to this, right? So now that you're clear about the messages you're going to use, you must pick your methods for getting them out. The two categories all lead generation methods fall into are prospecting and marketing. Prospecting is where you go get the leads, and marketing is where you do things to cause the leads to come to you. Prospecting is you making contact with people, and marketing is people making contact with you, right? Prospecting is seeking, and marketing is attracting. Prospecting can be done by phone or in person, while marketing is done through any published medium, social media, etc. Although you'll consistently hear people say they do one or the other, research says you have to do both. You should do both, you guys. Doing both helps you avoid any risk of having all your eggs in one basket, and this diversification actually increases your odds of long-term success. Also, both offer unique benefits. Prospecting gives you instant contact with the market, provides you the best timely feedback. It immediately lets you know what people are responding to and gives you the quickest proactive way to control results. Marketing gives you the opportunity to get a wider audience faster and offers you the best chance for lead generation leverage. It can put your message in front of a lot of people efficiently and at the least cost per person possible, especially now with social media. Your ongoing lead generation goal is always to get in the path of as many motivated buyers and sellers as you possibly can. And to do that, you must do both. Many people think of prospecting and marketing as mutually exclusive, but I encourage you to think bigger and to see them as mutually supportive. Your prospecting can be supported or enhanced by your marketing, and your marketing can be supported or enhanced by your prospecting. The only limit here, probably a lack of creativity. Continually seek ways to make both work at the same time. A simple example would be holding an open house, which is prospecting, and also passing out Best Buy lists, which is marketing, or doing an ad on social media, or doing both prospecting, door knocking or calls, and marketing direct mail to get people to attend the open house, right? You can see how these can play with each other very well. So you'll regularly hear some real estate agents saying one method works better than the other. This may be true for them. And again, however, we believe that any method executed properly and the key word consistently can be quite successful. And top agents rarely use just one method. So the question you should ask is not what methods will you do, but what methods will you do first? The answer should be simple and straightforward, and the methods that will generate the most leads in the shortest amount of time for the least amount of your effort and money invested should be the answer. Now, although there is no set formula for this, some target audiences are going to be better than others in a shifted market, right? You're going to want to prospect and market to those people you can directly identify as motivated and to others who can identify them for you because they do not know and trust you. The first list would include open houses, for sale by owners, expired listings, foreclosures, builders with spec homes or model homes, relocation buyers or sellers, among others. The second list would be people in your MET database, your past clients, your sphere of influence, friends, acquaintances, who you believe will send you referrals. You're using messages and making offers to try to discover if they want or need to buy or sell in this market and trying to discover if they know of anyone who might want to or need to buy or sell in the market, right? The thing to avoid is simply trolling for motivated people without any clue where they are. At some point, as you seek to increase your leads, this will be acceptable, but not until you're already generating an adequate number of motivated leads that are closing, right? So quick leads first, more leads second, and lots of leads third should be the motto here. So since prospecting can literally cost no money, you should go straight to prospecting while you get comfortable with your marketing choices. Remember that prospecting is about converting your messages to effective verbal dialogues and scripts that you must practice and learn, and marketing is about converting your messages effectively to basically social media or print medium or however you do that. Get some basic training and then dive in, and don't wait to become an expert because you can't become one by studying. Your greatest teacher and your skill builder is your own personal experience, so just go get after it. The most successful real estate sales people, both prospect and market, they do it because there are limits to your reach with prospecting that don't exist with marketing, and prospecting is something that you must always show up to do, yet marketing is something you unleash and then works, you know, without your having to be there. Prospecting is about seeking opportunities. It's the act of personally calling and contacting targeted people that you haven't met or people you have met. Marketing is the opposite of prospecting. Instead of seeking opportunities, marketing is about attracting them. It's the work of placing your messages where you believe motivated buyers or sellers are most likely to see or hear them. And when leads become fewer, prospecting has to increase. The research for, the book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, showed that the top agents used the marketing-based and prospecting-enhanced approach. But experience teaches us that a shifted market requires that you move more towards prospecting, and you could still be marketing-based, but you're probably doing more prospecting than you ever were before, and it's all about meeting your lead generation goals. Prospecting tends to uncover motivated leads faster, and it just keeps you in more control, bottom line. Because prospecting puts you in an immediate contact with people, you can get immediate feedback, and that is what you want in a shifted market. This isn't to say that marketing isn't effective. It is. What the research shows is that when markets shift, for most top agents, their lead generation will shift more in the direction of prospecting, but they don't quit marketing. For a few top agents, they will actually remain marketing-based and simply tweak where and how they do it, but this is a very select group of breathing rare air, if you will call it. Even this group could benefit from adding or increasing some level of prospecting to their activities. And so time on task over time will serve you well in mastering your approaches, but be careful that your behavioral style does not betray you. Most real estate agents fall into two broad behavioral categories. I know I'm generalizing here, but they are the two categories are those who are likely to take action first and those who are likely to study first. And although there are many behavioral assessments that call for these, you know, call these things various names, they all boil down to one simple concept: fear of making a mistake. Those who aren't afraid to make a mistake, that just jump right in and easily accept the idea that they're going to learn as they go, and then others shudder at this thought and think that, you know, all about the mistakes, and believe that only after they have thoroughly studied something and mastered it should they go out and take action. And honestly, I think they're both wrong. Regardless of your behavioral style, I think that you should quickly study and learn the basics, then take action while you continue to study. Studying and practicing is one thing. Doing it is another. Both are required to master anything at a high level. So the door must always... you must realize the door is always open there, and you have to just become a doer, but also be the student, and the student must also become the doer. So the question remains, when do you take action and when do you study? And experience says that an ongoing cycle of study and practice, take action, study and practice, take action is truly the best approach. And don't be a slave to your preferred behavioral style. You must gain some control over yourself no matter what your behavior is like, no matter what your personality is like. You must do both to become your best, and so that's just going to become a learned behavior. If you're an action-first person, I want you to slow down long enough to study and practice 30 minutes a day before you take off. A little research and role-playing will do a lot for your effectiveness, and you won't realize how much it's going to help you. So experience it, and remember that when you learn only from your experience, you're learning a lot less than you should. And if you're a study-first person, I want you to realize that you can't know it all no matter how much you study, so you got to get on a study program you're comfortable with, but you need to take action while you're on it. And remember, if experimental learning isn't on the program, you're arguably missing the most important part. So the last thing I want to end with here is this. Consider this. And this is called the true professional. I'm going to read something. Most difficulties in real estate transactions, from simple misunderstandings all the way to costly lawsuits, come from agents who think they know it all. They erroneously believe that the customer expects them to have all the answers, and as such, they think that being a professional is about always knowing all the answers. This couldn't be further from the truth, and in fact, it's unprofessional. A true professional knows what they know, knows what they don't know, and knows the difference between the two. So when they know, they tell, and when they don't, they go get advice, and professionals never fake or bluff their way ahead. People want to work with someone who will get them the right answer no matter where it comes from. Notice the point? They want the right answer, not someone who knows the right answer. By now, you certainly must realize that the real estate transactions are never so time-sensitive that there isn't enough time to stop and ask someone a question or do some research to verify something. And anyone who acts that way is just doing it because they want to or think they should, not because a transaction or customer requires it. People want to work with someone who says, "I am a professional. That means I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and I know the difference between the two. So when I know, I'll just tell you, and when I don't know, I'll go find the answer. This way you can always have confidence that I'm getting you the best answers possible." That is what a true professional does, and that is what you should do. That is the definition of being a professional, and this definition of being a professional should set you free to move forward, confident in your ability to offer professional service with the knowledge and experience that you already do have. You don't have to know it all. So no matter what your behavioral style, when you take action, really go after it. Don't just do a little and expect a lot. To get the best returns from any lead generation action you take, you must go all out. An example of really working a lead generation method is an open house. Some just put a sign in the yard while others do much, much more. And guess what? Those that do much more get completely different results, right? So lastly, I'm going to talk about ramping it up, right? Now that you know what your message needs to be for your market and you know what lead generation methods you intend to use, there's only one thing left to do: start lead generation. At the risk of being blatantly obvious, we have to point out that in order for you to truly be a successful lead generator, you must actually do lead generation. You must do it a lot. You can't do it one day here and there, and you can't do it an hour here and there. An inconsistent approach can get you leads, but it won't get you anywhere near the number of leads you're going to need when the market shifts. You're going to need a lot of leads, and that means you're going to have to do a lot of lead generating. You must do it every day. You must do it several hours a day, and you must do it every day for the rest of your career. You must ramp it up and keep it up. No negotiations. And to do this, you must subscribe to one simple belief. Dealing with business never takes precedence over finding business. Never. You must never adopt the position that until your lead regeneration is done every day, nothing else should get done. This may seem like a tough position for you to adopt, but adopt it. You have to adopt it. Otherwise, you will constantly find other things that seem more important or allow other things to convince you that they're more important than lead generation, and that will be disastrous. The number one challenge you face won't be either of the first two issues we've covered. It will be this: consistently doing lead generation activities over time. It is the one true challenge all real estate agents face and the number one stumbling block that knocks most of them out of the game. Not getting lead generation done day in and day out may suffice in a hot market, but it will put you out of business in a cold one. And to ensure your lead generation is always your number one priority and that it gets done daily, you must acquire the discipline of time blocking. Time blocking is setting aside those time blocks daily to execute your most important business priorities. You have to think of it as making an appointment with yourself, and once you do it, you must protect that time against any and all distractions. And that is going to truly be what will get you through a shifting market. We've talked about time blocking many, many different times in my coaching series, so I don't feel like I have to go through that again. But just remember that you have to use a month-at-a-glance calendar and use a pencil instead of a pen. Of course, you can color block and do it on your computer with technology. Everybody's different. And basically become an advanced time blocker, right? You just need to make sure that for the whole month you've got things time blocked, and then you need to protect that time. You know, you need to know that there is going to be things that come up in the middle of the day and things that happen, and so you need to be really prepared to protect, if nothing else, that morning time. If you erase something on your calendar, you have to replace it. You have to think of time blocking as a placeholder to ensure that you get something done regularly. So should you absolutely have to do something else during a time block period, and it will happen occasionally, right? Then when you erase it, you simply must replace it at the earliest point that you can fit it in. Abiding by this rule will ensure that you really do intend to get done what needs to get done. And that, of course, is the point of time blocking. So what do you do in 3 hours? You prepare, you take action, and you maintain, right? So you need to first prepare. When prospecting, you need to create your messages, your offers, assemble your call or door knocking lists, rehearse your scripts, role play, etc. Prepare handouts for visits. You know the drill, right? Same thing with marketing. You create your messages and your offers. You assemble your mailing list, or you do your touches on your emails, or you do prep work, or you run your ads on social media, etc. You got to give the preparation stage probably 30 minutes, right? And then you need to move on. And if you give it much more than that, you're going to just waste some time and you're not going to be as effective. And then you need to take the action, the heart of your lead generation time block. You'll need to at least have a minimum of 2 hours for that. So you need to plan accordingly. If you're prospecting, obviously you're making calls or seeing people or hosting open houses or making follow-up calls or writing handwritten notes, all those types of things. And if you're marketing, you're doing the mail merge or the social media ad or delivering the mail or, you know, whatever the case may be. You get what I'm saying. Finally, you need to address any needed maintenance. This is the same for prospecting and marketing. Enter results into your database, write follow-up notes, record anything that you need to record, track your results, do any scheduling and calendaring, and fulfill any promises that you made while you were prospecting. And while maintenance is important, preparation and taking action are the most important. So, you know, make sure that you have enough time for all of those things. And again, lastly, your goal is consistent lead generation. The way you do it is by seeing your job as lead generation first and servicing second. This is the only way to look at your business. The way to think about this is the way that you think about going to the movies. When you go to the movies, you turn off your cell phone, you don't allow any distractions or disruptions, and for a couple of hours, you focus on the movie. Unless there's an absolute crisis, you do not interrupt the movie, and it works for you. You do it all the time for personal pleasure, so now you just need to do it for your business success. I want you to go to the movies every day, at least 5 days a week for 3 hours in the morning, and there you go. Now, in order to do this, your environment must support the goal, right? That means that your family, your friends, your office, your team members, your vendors, they must respect and support your time block periods. You're at the movies, and you're not to be disturbed by anything or anyone until it's over, and it's a long movie, right? Lead generation is a contact sport, you guys, but with simple rules. It means making contact with people through prospecting and marketing, Once you meet your new contacts, you either do business with them immediately or you don't. Either way, once you've met them, you put them in your database, you stay in touch with them forever. Your number one job as a real estate agent is to find ways to get in the path of motivated buyers and sellers. And oddly, the tendency for most agents in a shifting market is to cocoon, to just wander around the office or stay at home and wait for things to change. And obviously, that is a huge mistake. When the market shifts and changes, you don't slow down, you ramp it up. A shift requires you to do very specific things every single day if you want to succeed. You can't succeed sitting on the sidelines. Every day, you must get in the game and make plays. It's crunch time for lead generation when a market shifts. I know you can do it. Get out there and make some changes in your business. Even if the market isn't shifting or changing, if you make these changes in your business today, do you know how much more business you're going to do in 2016? I am super excited for you to employ, take on these tactics and employ them. We are looking at next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to go over tactic number 5, get to the table, lead conversion. So we're moving from lead generation to lead conversion, and I'm excited to talk to you about that. So visit me back here again live on Blog Talk Radio, Coaching with Carrie, at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I look forward to it. In the meantime, if you need a copy of the book, you know how to contact me again, Carrie HKW on Twitter, Coaching with Carrie on Facebook, or go ahead and contact me at carrieh@kw.com. Thanks so much, you guys. Make it a great and productive weekend. Talk to you next time.